You're listening to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. 1514 draws its name from Romans 15:14, where the Apostle Paul encourages the church that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and the Executive Director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of 1514. If you're just joining us for the first time, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and it encourages you to go back in our archives and check out some of our previous shows. If you've been listening for some time now, thank you so much for your loyalty and we appreciate you. Be sure to send us an email, let us know what you like, and if you have any suggestions for the show, we'd also appreciate those as well. You can always send those to podcast@biblicalcc.org. Well, today my guest is coming from the East Coast at the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, professor of counseling there, Sam Williams. So, Sam, thanks for being with us today.
It's great to be with you guys.
Sam, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience?
Well, I am a counseling professor of counseling at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and am completing my 20th year here, 20 absolutely wonderful years. I could not have been more vocationally blessed than to be here at Southeastern. I'm kind of an oddball in that one of the few here that does not have a degree in theology or divinity or Bible or any of that. And so I just, I'm very fortunate to be around a lot of theologians and Bible scholars. And we have lots of wonderful conversations. I sit in on their classes. So I've been teaching here for almost 20. We moved here 20 years ago. I'm from the Southwest, Phoenix, Tucson, San Diego. Licensed as a psychologist prior to that as a marriage and family therapist in California, and then licensed as a psychologist in Louisiana, where I was in practice for 10 years. But Southeastern is our home. I'm an elder at my church, North Wake, and it's been a great place to be.
Well, that's great. Thanks for filling us in on your background a little bit there. One of your bios is going to have to be updated. I don't remember which one, but it said that you'd been teaching for a dozen years. So that's a few years behind.
Yeah, almost.
Well, tell us about that experience. That is a long time to be teaching at an institution. Yeah. What's it been like to teach for almost 20 years? You mentioned it was great, but what kinds of things have changes?
You know, I would say probably a couple words describe my experience here. One, inspiring. I have so many just cool, godly students and colleagues that are just wonderful to be with. It's almost like a second church. I love my church, and there's nothing like the church. But this is almost like a first cousin to the church for me, and just a very rich, inspiring, God-centered environment at Southeastern. Mm. And so inspiring, the other word that comes to me, it's just fun. We have a good time at Southeastern. When I first came here, being an old hippie from the Southwest, I really didn't think I would fit in a Southern Baptist seminary. But quite to the contrary, especially since Dr. Aiken came here 15 years ago, we are serious about serious things, mm-hmm. namely God's Word, the gospel of Jesus, and getting it everywhere, all over the world, and in every context possible. So we're serious about that step. But short of that, we want to enjoy the ride. And so Southeastern is a really inspiring place on the one hand, but it's just a fun, pleasant, healthy place to be. I haven't had one major conflict issue in 20 years here. Not one. I've never been deeply disappointed by anything. A few adjustments here and there with, you know, online education, all that stuff. I'm kind of a dinosaur with that stuff, but it's a blessed place to be. If heaven is better than this, then man, I'm ready.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. That's one thing I appreciate, having been a student in multiple Christian institutions of higher learning, but also being able to get to know professors from other places. It is encouraging that Christians hopefully do education differently, and it's not just the content that's communicated in the classroom, but the spirit and the love of the love of Christ, really, which should separate us from the world. So, wow, that's great to hear. For people who are considering getting degrees in counseling, what kind of degrees does Southeastern offer?
Sure. So we have, I think if you added up bachelor's degree and master's degree and doctoral degrees, we have a couple hundred students in counseling, maybe a little more than that. We have a BA in Christian counseling that is actually just launched a year ago. We have a Master of Arts in Biblical Counseling. We have a Master of Divinity in Biblical Counseling. We have a Master of Arts in Christian Marriage, Family, and Individual Counseling. We have an EDD in Christian Counseling. We have a PhD in Biblical Counseling. And we have a couple of DMins in the counseling arena as well.
Well, so everything you can get top to bottom from.
Yeah, it's a pretty comprehensive selection. Yeah.
What, for people who might not be aware of the differences in the programs, what would be some of the differences?
Our Master of Arts in Christian Marriage, Family, and Individual Counseling is specifically oriented toward licensure as an MFT. We aim to produce marriage and family therapists, many of whom will go on and get licensed here or perhaps elsewhere, that are theologically grounded, that view the gospel of Christ as the only final hope that any of us have, and also understand the critical need for the church as a context for growth and healing. So, you know, we try to hang on to the same distinctives that we have in all of our counseling programs, namely God and God's word are central, Jesus as our hope, and then the critical nature of the church as a context for growth and healing. But, you know, with the marriage and family degree, we have an extra dose of courses in marriage, family, parenting, and they do, as is necessary for that degree, study family systems theory. We believe that's compatible with a distinctly Christian perspective on life, which, last I checked, starts with three persons, namely the Trinity, and ultimate and final reality is relational. Is personal. God is a person. God is three persons and relational. So when we really began to look into this, we believed that this marriage and family degree, given the emphasis in that discipline on relationships, was really, whether they were, I'm sure they were not aware of it when they came up with it, this is a product of understanding that life is finally and fundamentally and essentially relational. So, you know, relational healing, which is what salvation is, right? We have peace with God through Jesus. And then hopefully we pass that on to others in our families. And so, you know, that is probably the distinctive there is it is, deeper and broader in terms of studying the various kinds of relationships that we have and then oriented toward licensure.
So the MABC is more for students who are not pursuing state licensure but are going to do
that's correct within the
church or some other context that doesn't require licensure.
Yeah, so we have had MABC students that have gone on, and typically they've gone on and gotten the LPC license by taking extra courses.
Okay.
Sometimes here, sometimes elsewhere. You know, students from Southern Seminary have done the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that the MABC in some states does provide at least the proper base to go on and get an LPC. But we decided to go toward the MFT for the reasons I just mentioned. And also, we believed that the ethical code for the MFTs is more compatible with a Christian perspective, oddly, more inclusive of spiritual perspectives compared to the LPC's ethical code. And so we oriented that direction. And so, you know, it is, and I'm not sure where we were going with that question. What was?
No, I was just curious. So people who are interested in the degree programs could understand a little bit about what they're.
Yeah. The MABC is more oriented toward biblical counseling ministries, parachurch ministries. MDivBC more oriented toward people that really want to go work in the church. And MFT more oriented toward licensure. And our perspective there is, you know, there are no closed countries for God, and there are no closed professions for the Lord. And we view all of our degrees, and this degree uniquely so because of its aim to interact in the secular mental health establishment. We view this as a part of the mission of God. And if biblical counseling really has something to offer, why should we keep it to ourselves? And if the mental health world is really as inclusive and postmodern as they claim to be, then we should have a seat at the table.
Yeah, it is interesting. I've talked to a lot of people who've been in counseling of various forms for many, many years, and they've seen the changes and the growth, and just seen a more openness generally to spirituality and things like that. And it is, like you said, if they're consistent, an open door for us to be able to go in and speak the truth of the Word of God to people. So,
yeah,
absolutely. What do you think some of the, because I know I'm not trying to bolster one school above another. I think there's many great Christian institutions out there, but what are some of the unique things that you think set Southeastern apart? That if somebody is, you know, if you're trying to recruit a student to come to your school, you would say this, besides the fact that you get to have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, that would certainly be a part of it. We do have a good time here. And, but I think that, as I said earlier, you know, we're grounded in God's word and a good, solid, robust theological foundation. And then built on top of that, the importance of the gospel and the church. At the same time, you know, we believe that common grace is real and that God's common grace is intended to cooperate with and be complementary to his special grace in Christ and in the scriptures. So we do believe here that we can and aim to benefit from the social sciences. So we hopefully approach them from a Christian worldview perspective with a hermeneutic both of charity and critique or suspicion at the same time. And so, you know, I know that sometimes that's a little controversial in the BC world, but I would, you know, proof text David Pallison, there is good in psychology. Jay Adams, you know, there are legitimate psychological activities. So at the ground level, what I'm saying here really isn't shocking. And many biblical counseling folks have already affirmed that there is good in psychology and there are legitimate psychological activities, as Pallison and Adams have both affirmed. But fundamentally, as I said, I think our conviction is that we want to provide a clinically informed model of biblical counseling wherein we view the common grace that sometimes does show up in all the sciences, and especially the social and biological sciences, is that we do want to interact with those. We want to provide a comprehensive, holistic perspective on people, problems, and change.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned some people in the BC world get a little suspicious or, you know, over concerned when they hear that kind of language. And I really appreciated, I think it was about a year ago, I was talking to David Pallison, and the way he described, because as a coalition, we represent a wide variety of people
from
different perspectives. And I he said he described the kind of edges of the coalition as protectionist and then expansionist or explorationist, and wanting to be generous in the terminology that we use, because I think sometimes we can cause more problems when we mislabel people or label them as things that they don't like. Right. And so that would put you on the edge of more the expansionist, explorationist. And by that, he means wanting to explore and expand our understanding of God's creation and what is out there. And at the same time, we need each other to remain tethered to the truth of the word and interact.
Right, so, definitely.
So your experience, your background, your training, and where you guys are as an institution as well puts you on that side of the spectrum, so to speak.
Right, it puts us right on the perfect part of the slope.
Which is where everybody is.
The slippery slope has a right side and a left side.
Yeah.
And
So anyway, I just trying to lay that out. I want to be cautious and careful, but not, overstate it. But understanding where we are with everybody has different perspectives. That's where your perspective lies. What has been your experience in the, and I didn't mention this at the beginning, I completely forgot, but you are on the BCC Council. So we welcome you and incorporate you into our ministry as well. What's that been like for you? Has there been any, I don't want to get into issues or trouble, but what's it been like?
Yeah. You know, I mean, fundamentally, my aim is I want to be the man that God wants me to be, is really what it comes down to. And I believe that whether you call, use Pallison's terms in terms of, protectionist and expansionist, or Eric Johnson's terms in terms of traditional and progressive biblical counseling, we are definitely on the progressive or expansionist side. I am, and I think Southeastern, generally speaking, is as well. And as I said earlier, I think it really comes from just this conviction that we want to love people on God's terms as well as we can through this thing that we call counseling, through this interpersonal relationship, this conversation that takes place between two people. Hmm. And, we never counsel mere souls. Everybody we counsel is embodied. Mm-hmm. And they're a culture. They're existing in a body and in a culture. So we want to understand bodies. We want to understand culture. We want to understand the social sciences insofar as they can be beneficial to us in pursuing God's aims and objectives in a person who's struggling and helping them in the direction that He would have them go. I think to be on that part of the spectrum, I'm glad to be there. I respect my brothers that are more on the traditional and protectionist side. I hope that respect is mutual. But at 65, I'm kind of like Popeye. I am what I am, and God help me to be the man that God wants me to be. So I'm comfortable there. I'm deeply grateful for the warm relationships I have with many of my brothers that are on the other side of the spectrum, whether that would be Stuart Scott or Jay Adams, when I used to see him at conferences. And I count these folks as dear friends who have important things to say that I need to listen to.
Yeah. Well, no, I really appreciate that attitude and that heart too. And that's one of the things that we, as a coalition, because we have the confessional and doctrinal statements, we agree on a lot. And I think that's right. Constantly like to remind people is we're all going to be in heaven together. And we're all right now in the ministry of serving God's church and His people and bringing hope and healing to hurting people.
That's right.
We agree on a lot more than we disagree on.
And as it says in James 2:13, my favorite verse in the Bible, mercy triumphs over judgment.
Hmm. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that we don't exercise judgment, but mercy wins according to the Christian program. And hopefully it does the same thing for us in the world of Christian counseling and that part of the spectrum that we call biblical counseling, that merciful hearts and at the same time active incisive minds hopefully can go together.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, being able to have that dialogue and that conversation, because we all have something to learn from each other.
Oh, yes.
That's why the coalition was started, is different perspectives together, because we believe we learn from one another as we move forward in this ministry. That's great. So what, getting back to your teaching experience, what are the classes that you just absolutely love to teach? Mm.
A couple of classes I love to teach. One would be a course in addictions. I teach that once a year on campus, once a year online. And I love addicts, is what it comes down to. I'm the oldest of three, and my middle brother died of an overdose 17 years ago. Struggle with drug abuse in my earlier years, and I love working with addicts. Every Friday afternoon, I go out to an addiction treatment center, and it's perhaps one of the most God-centered spiritual places I go every week, is out there, because these guys are broken. They ain't got nothing, and they know that, and they're humbled, and they're open to hearing who God is and what he only he can do in their lives. And so I really like teaching addiction, because I hate addiction. I have had too many friends and family that have died of them. And yet I love addicts. And so that's a course that I love teaching. Another course I like teaching a lot is just a course on problematic emotions, to borrow David Pallison's phrase. When I was writing that course and developing it 20 years ago, I sent my syllabus to David, and it was a course on counseling emotional problems. He said, you know, it'd be better if you said problematic emotions, because emotions aren't in themselves the problems. But I love that course. And generally speaking, severe mental illness, psychopathology, these are areas that I find, on the one hand, very interesting, and also where a God-centered perspective, a perspective grounded in God's word and with the gospel as our final hope, is irreplaceable. Increasingly, even some of the secular psychotherapies are recognizing that sometimes we can't eliminate all disorder and suffering. So then what?
Yeah.
And I think we have answers to that as Christians, since we believe that suffering's a part of the plan for now on this planet.
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's been interesting reading even staunchly secular people who are, when you read their work, seemingly very hostile to the church and working in post-traumatic stress. Some of them, I think, have gotten that because they've worked with a lot of victims of abuse of church leaders, unfortunately. but in those books, like one of them, The Stress Damage the Brain by Bremner, he talks about the spirit. Mm-hmm. And they're mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. everything else they say is such a materialistic perspective, that we're just molecules mm-hmm. and matter, and that's all that's at play. But then he comes around at some point and says there's still something that's just unexplainable there, and we call it the spirit or whatever.
It's
fascinating, because it's true. They just don't necessarily always see it or want to acknowledge it. So
but there's increasing recognition of the immaterial spiritual, that there's something metaphysical in this thing we call reality. Of course, the great entrance of mindfulness. We have mindfulness everything these days. It's a fad. But at the same time, it's a recognition that there's something else that people are looking for that is deeper, is beyond simply changing their behavior, changing their emotions. But there's another connection that we all desire with something bigger, greater, grander than ourselves. You know, so, yeah.
No, I think it's great. Anything we can do to take an opportunity, like Paul said, all things to all people, if we can use it as an opportunity.
So that we can win some. Yeah.
We can win some. Yeah. That's a good, gives us lots of open opportunities there to talk about those kind of things. So, I'm just curious, is there any research vein right now that is particularly interesting to you, something that you're working on either for a book project or your own personal interest?
Well, I'm kind of like Paul. People are my letters, you know, and I am not very fond of writing. And so, you know, I read a ton, and currently my interest in reading are tracking along the lines of burnout, resilience, compassion fatigue, those sorts of things. It's a big, big issue for many of our pastors and missionaries, is how do they properly steward their soul and their body, their time. So I'm currently doing a lot of reading in this genre of resilience, and both on the Christian side of the fence and the secular side of the fence.
So you have to be interested to see some research. I was just asked recently by some guys in one in ministry, one in the secular field, but very heavily involved as a lay minister on that particular issue. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that. So,
yeah.
Well, we're almost out of time, so I think we'll end with our 2-minute favorite segment. Are you ready for that?
We'll see.
All right. Let me stop the big timer and switch over to my alarm here. And here we go. What is your favorite food?
Hamburgers.
What is your favorite color?
Blue.
What's your favorite sport?
Basketball.
What's your favorite sports team?
Oh my. Duke.
What is your favorite gift you've ever received?
1969 Corvette.
All right. My favorite gift ever given?
My wife's engagement wedding ring.
All right. Favorite word?
Copacetic.
Least favorite word?
Pus.
What is your favorite candy?
Butterfingers.
And favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh my, pistachio.
Favorite book of the Bible?
Psalms.
Favorite extra biblical book?
Oh my, so many come to mind. Christian Theology by Millard Erickson, or Doctrine of the Knowledge of God by John Frame, or tons of articles by David Pallison.
All right. Favorite quote?
The root of all evil is wrongly directed desire, Augustine.
If your mother were to describe you in one word, what word would she use?
Wonderful.
If you had one, if you could choose any superpower, what superpower would you choose?
Jesus.
What's your favorite animal?
My favorite animal would probably be a good dog.
All right. Well, that wraps up our time. You got pretty well through the list. I was going to have to get to some story questions there in a second, but well done. Well, Sam, Dr. Williams, thanks so much for being with us on today's episode.
Great to chat with you, Curtis. God bless you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the Biblical Counseling Coalition, please visit our website at biblicalcc.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at biblicalcc, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Biblical Counseling Coalition. Thanks again for listening.